welcome back to it. I'm going to continue this theme for just a moment because this other article sitting at the top of my stack here, and that is that transgender women inmates in Colorado are suing the state because of their treatment. No joke. Transgender women inmates in Colorado claim in a class action lawsuit that they are targets of physical violence and sexual harassment inside the prison system because these trans women are held with other men without safeguards. Transgender women, of course, are still biologically men, of course. And they're held with men because that's what you do. You separate men, male and female. Male goes here, female goes there. It's how the prison system works. But now they're victims. And they're suing the state of Colorado and their extreme far leftist governor, Jared Polis. We'll see where this ends up. The lawsuit claims that the CDOC has discriminated against transgender women solely on the basis of their gender identity, and that these trans women have been subjected to unsafe situations, including severe sexual harassment, physical violence, and rape. I'm going to guess that that's been a problem inside of prisons since the beginning of time. All of the things, harassment, sexual harassment, rape, violence. I have an idea. Don't commit crimes. Don't get sent to prison. I mean, that's one solution, isn't it? Don't get sent to prison. That would clear up any issue you might have inside of the prison. But it's more of the insanity that you see here. More time and resources and taxpayer money squandered on these lawsuits because everybody wants to be a victim, and therefore everybody's in their own personal protected class, and therefore we have to build a special prison just for them. How about $100 million we'll build a special prison for trans people? How about that? Does that make sense? And the answer is, of course it doesn't. You've been convicted of a crime. I didn't do the crime. You did. And don't commit the crime if you can't do the time. That's the old adage, right? So if you can't handle it, don't commit crimes. That's my advice today. All right. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg back in the hospital. This is startling, of course, frightening for the left. Because right now, for the first time since 1933, we have a conservative court. Right now, for the first time since 1933, we have a conservative court. And because of that, Democrats are fearful that if Donald Trump gets one more Supreme Court pick, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg leaves, that will be problematic. If Stephen Breyer leaves, bigger problem. It could be a 7-2 court. Can you imagine a 7-2 conservative court in the United States? In my entire life, it's been a liberal-leaning court, so this is a big deal. Anyhow, she was in Johns Hopkins University Hospital in Baltimore after being transferred from a hospital in Washington over the weekend. Chills and a fever. Clearly an infection of some sort does the associate justice have. She was released late yesterday. She's had 4 occurrences of cancer, 2 in the past year, lung cancer surgery in just December of last year, received radiation treatment for a tumor on her pancreas in August of this year. But she will hang on, hoping that a Democrat gets elected president. 86 years old, in frail health, to say the least, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And that is, and again, that's what I believe the entire impeachment proceeding is about. That seat, her seat, what happens to the court. And Democrats are willing to do whatever it takes to try to get the next pick to the United States Supreme Court or the next two. Meanwhile, Devin Nunes says he is going to take CNN and the Daily Beast to court because these two outlets, among others, kept reporting that he had had some secret meeting in Vienna to discuss finding dirt on Hunter Biden and others. Lev Parnas, who was indicted in October for conspiring to violate a ban on foreign donations, prompting Nunes to question the validity of the source. He is the source, telling Democrats and others that somehow Nunes was in Vienna in 2018 in a push for an investigation of Hunter and Joe Biden. And both stories cite former Rudy Giuliani associate Lev Parnas as being the guy who put this together. But Nunes says it hasn't happened. I've been used to this for the last 3 years, said Nunes. The House Intel Committee Republicans, we continue to expose Democrat corruption over and over again. And what always happens is right when we expose them, they go out to kill the messenger. I'm the messenger, says Nunes. But he said he's not backing off now. He says he's going to hold CNN and Daily Beast accountable. It's the only way to hold the corrupt media accountable is to challenge them in federal court, says Nunes. And he's not backing down. He says it may involve criminal activity, what they've done here. All of this as the time starts to wind down toward December 9th. Michael Horowitz report coming December the 9th on FISA court abuses. We now already know that an FBI lawyer tampered with the documents to get a FISA warrant approved, altered the documents, may have fraudulently changed those documents and put in things that just weren't true to get an investigative process started against Carter Page, which of course led to the investigation of the Trump campaign and then brought in Bob Mueller and the special counsel. If it all came from a fraudulent warrant application, which is what we're beginning to believe, that is a serious problem. And the FBI lawyer did not act in a vacuum. This is a lower-level lawyer that has been identified thus far. This person did not conduct their business in a vacuum by themselves. There was a chain of command there, and somebody was at the top of that chain of command. James Comey, maybe. Maybe somebody else. But I'm looking forward to that on December the 9th, the big release of the Michael Horowitz report will be coming down. And it has the capacity to change everything, as does John Durham's approach to criminal prosecution of those involved. We'll keep an eye on all of it for you right here. If you don't trust the mainstream media, that's fine. Come here. We'll sort it out. We'll talk about it. We'll dig through it. We'll get to what appears to be the truth, then we'll decide what the truth is. We'll figure it out together. Fair? And don't forget about the brand new SteveGruber.com. SteveGruber.com. More content than you can shake a stick at. It's impressive, no question. 52 after on a Monday, it's the Steve Gruber Show.
For this latest installment of the Pioneer Audio Tour, I've hopped on one of their shuttle buses. We're driving around the Johnston, Iowa campus, Pioneer's largest R&D center. I want to give you some sense of the scale of this place. There are research fields surrounding research buildings, one building after another. I've lost count. Right now, we're passing acres and acres of greenhouses. But what happens inside these buildings is even more enormous than what I can see from outside. Genotyping, predictive analytics, computer simulations, and more to bring you the next generation of Pioneer hybrids and varieties. So we've been driving now for 20 minutes already, and there's still more to see. The Johnston campus, one of the places that makes Pioneer, Pioneer. You'll hear more from me later. For now, let your local Pioneer sales representative hear from you.